Matthew chapter 18. Let me read to you, beginning from verse 21. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him, to Jesus, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of all his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him. And that was that he paid homage to this king, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And he went not. But he would not, and went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors or torturers till he should pay all that was due unto him. Verse 35, So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. May the Lord bless this reading and meditation of his word. I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who will soon come to snatch us to be with him forever. May all of us here love his second coming, his parousia. If you loved the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ promised you a reward. There's a reward for you. Don't be like some people who wants to continue to stay here and hope that the Lord may not come during their time here. They would rather die first and then come. There's some who said that to me. Christians, I hope we are all like, not like that. I hope we are all really here on earth looking towards the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we are still here, we served him. It's so wonderful, so blessed. And the Lord will bless you. Now I entitled this passage we have just read, The Unforgiving Servant. I feel rather, well, the subject actually, one should practice more of it rather than speak or talk about it. And I feel, personally feel that I am not qualified to speak on this subject. I rather practice it. However, my master, whom I owe my life, beats me to speak on this subject on his behalf. And so I will do so. And I find that in the process of preparing this message, I have gained some spiritual benefits for my own spiritual health. And I hope the same, that when you hear this message this morning, you will gain, and it will be good for your spiritual life. Let us quickly look at the passage again. We have just read it, but I don't know whether you still register it. Sometimes when we retell the story again, it registers in our mind and we can catch the essence of that story. And here the story is with regard to a king, and then it was accounting day, and he called all his servants, and they were checking all the accounts book, and there's one brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Well, I do not know how much it is, but at that time it must mean a lot of money. In fact, he couldn't pay it. And so the king says he has to pay. He had no money. And the king said, well, sell him as a slave, his family, his wife, his family, his possessions. Sell everything in order to raise the money to pay the king. And I think even with the selling of his whole family and his possessions, he might not be able even to meet that debt. Suddenly, when this servant heard this, he fell down on his he knelt down before the king and paid homage to him and said, let us look at it exactly. Please look at that passage, what he said to the king. All right, the passage here, it says, because this is very significant, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Well, the king heard. And the king here, as recorded for us, was moved with compassion. He looked at him, this man, knelt down before him, pleading with him, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He promised that. Of course, I believe that the king knew that he cannot pay. His whole life, if he is going to work, cannot pay him. So he was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. Second thing, loosed him. In other words, released him of his debt, as he said here, and forgave him the debt. Now this same servant, he had fellow servants. You know, our servants, wherever we work together, and then sometimes you don't have enough money to feed your family, and then you go to the servant, please, lend me some money. And so this same servant had given a loan to another, his fellow servant, and owed him 100 pence. 100 pence. Not very much. But still, this poor servant couldn't pay him. And so he went to him and said, you owe me, so you better pay. So he laid hands on him. He took him by the throat and said to him through his ear, pay me, thou that owest. It's very dramatic, isn't it? And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, all right, let us read again here. Have patience with me. Of course, there's the word Lord is not there because he's not his Lord. He's a fellow servant only. Have patience with me and I will pay thee all. You see, the exact words. The exact word as this creditor servant pleaded with the king, with his Lord. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. As you read this, you feel very angry. You see, how can this fellow servant did these things? Very ungrateful. And so when his fellow servants saw what was done, I think you are maybe one of them, you can identify yourself with this, the rest of the fellow servants, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Well, they did not add or subtract that. They didn't put extra pepper or whatever it is. Just say exactly all that was done, as he said here. And his Lord, after that, his Lord called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, you wicked man, I forgave thee all your debt. I've cancelled everything because you desire me, you want me to. When you plead with me, I could see your heart. This was your desire. And so I had compassion on you and I forgave you. And now you cannot do this to your fellow servant. You wicked man. Wicked. Should not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now what is the lesson here that we learn? Definitely, according to our title here, the unforgiving servant, the lesson here is definitely with regard to forgiveness. The subject of forgiveness. What is the intent of this parable? What is the purpose of this parable? Well, you look at verse 35. The intent for us given to us. Usually a parable, there's always one main point, and the main point is here in verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. I believe that this is addressed particularly to the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our present context, it is to us. I believe here most of us all are Christians. Are you not? We are all the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the children of God the Father in heaven. And Jesus Christ says here, so likewise, as the parable goes, my heavenly Father will do unto you, if you from your heart, I think this is very significant, you can underline, if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Something got to do with an attitude of the heart, the condition of the heart. You will observe that when the king rebuked the unforgiving servant, he did not even mention about, he did not even compare how much that unforgiving servant owed him and how much his fellow servant owed this unforgiving sin. He did not compare that. That was not important. If not important or significant, it's not important. What is important is the condition of the heart. That's why he says here that if ye from your heart forgive not everyone. So Jesus Christ here is teaching us, we who are his disciples must forgive our fellow disciples who have wronged us. And if we refuse to forgive our fellow disciples who has wronged us, our Father in heaven will punish us for our unforgiveness, will also not forgive us. This has got nothing to do with the part that you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and all your sins, past, present and future, have been forgiven. As far as your position is concerned before God with regard to your salvation, that the penalty of that sin has been already settled and paid off by the Lord Jesus Christ. God has promised you and me that when we confess our sins and repent before God and accept the Lord Jesus Christ's atoning work for us personally, God promised that you will have eternal life and He will give to you the Holy Spirit, and who is in fact the earnest, the guarantee, your guarantor for your entrance into the kingdom of God. That is settled. God will not go back on His word on that, because God is faithful and honest. Now we are talking here about our daily life whenever we deal with one another, how we, and sometimes we step on one another's what? Foot. We wrong one another, we sin against one another. And here, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching His disciples, you and me, to forgive those who have wronged us. You'll find that it is very difficult, isn't it, to forgive one another? Is it not difficult? Because this is our natural, you know, our natural sinful nature will not forgive. True or not? I wonder sometimes if I were to go to one of you and say bad things about you right in your face, what would happen? You will smile and hug me and say, never mind. Will you? Oh, maybe you will slap me, you know. Not once, but twice. You might even say, how can you as a pastor speak like this? Right? You might accuse me. I think so. I think that is the natural reaction. But here the Lord Jesus Christ, He says, so it is difficult. The Lord Jesus Christ says, no, we should not. We should not. We should forgive one another. It's got to be the condition of the heart. And so here we have the main lesson. The main lesson here is with the heart. It is this spirit of forgiveness, this attitude of forgiveness that we must have in our heart. Do you have? If you don't have, if we don't have, then we have to build this one. We have to take into consideration that we must have. The Apostle Peter, in verse 21 and 22, okay, in verse 21, he asked a very relevant question. He said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? How many times? He said, in other words, if my brother often sin against me, then should I forgive him? Until seven times? I think here Peter is talking about seven times literally. He was talking about numbers. So if my brother sin against me, I forgive one time, two time, three. You sin again? Four. I count. Five and seven. Eighth time? Seven times already I've forgiven you, no. Eighth time? Bam. Catching by the throat. I think Peter may be thinking this way. Definitely. And look at, because from that I look at the verse what the Lord Jesus Christ said. The Lord says, I say unto, not unto thee, until seven times. No, not seven times. But until 70 times seven. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not talking of number here. Not 490 times. And so the word seven here and 70, 770 or 77, metaphorically, it means limitless. Always, always, countless times, limitless, one should forgive another brother who wrongs. I tell you, yes, it is not easy. So this spirit, first of all, this spirit or this attitude of forgiveness must be in us. This is one of the marks of a Christian. Question. I ask myself, do I have this spirit? Do you have this spirit? I pause. I want to hear you. Yes, I hope you have. Charles Allen was a great Methodist pastor. He wrote that when he was in the fourth grade, that's about 10 years old, the superintendent of the school mistreated him. There was no doubt about it. It was a deliberate wrong which the man committed because he had fallen out with his father, Charles' father, the boy's father. The Allens then moved from that town and the years passed. One day during Charles' first pastorate, he heard that his old antagonist superintendent was seeking a job with the schools in the area. Charles knew that as soon as he told his friends on the school board about the man, they would not have him. And so he says this, again, I went out to get in my car to go to see some of the board members. And suddenly it came over me what I had done. Here I was trying to represent him who was nailed to the cross, and me carrying a grudge. That realization was a humiliating experience. I went back into my house, knelt by my bedside and said, Lord, if you will forgive me of this, I will never be guilty anymore of it. That experience and that promise are among the best things that ever happened in my life. So say Charles Allen, a pastor. Is there someone in your life that you are angry with? I know you can get angry. I have gone through that experience. And someone would say things are bad, or even scheme things and frame you up or cause other people to charge you for being a liar. And that person is also so clever, can do that. And you inside feel very angry, wouldn't you? And you tell your non-Christian friends, your non-Christians will say what? Take revenge. Give him back. Let me help you. And he will try to scheme another one for you to go and trap the fella. You ask another Christian friend, a good mature Christian, will say, forgive. Have this attitude, this spirit of forgiveness. So I've learned through the years. And because of sometimes of my attitude, at that time I was being attacked, criticized by some of my fellow Christians and some who have taught me well and so caused me to study this subject of forgiveness. And I have learned and I have benefited. And I can experience the spiritual health that I receive from such teaching from the Word of God. And so the important thing is that we must have this spirit of forgiveness or this attitude of forgiveness in us. Whether a person has sinned against you or not, it doesn't matter. You must have this spirit of forgiveness. The attitude of forgiveness first. All right? Because it is part of us. It's a mark of our confession of faith in Christ Jesus. The mark as children of God. Because God our Father also have this spirit. We have just read Psalm 103, who forgave all our sins, who is merciful, whose loving kindness and tender mercy is forever. Here in Psalms 86 verse 5, it says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." This is the character of our God, our Father in heaven. We are His children. We should reflect His character. Like Father, like Son. This is part. We are always very quick to say, when a person is bad, that boy is bad, like Father, like Son. But here we have God the Father, who is so wonderful, who is ready to forgive, who is plenteous in mercy. We should reflect that. I'm speaking to you now and asking you, if you are a Christian, that you should have, you and I, we must have, all right? We must have this attitude of forgiveness in us, period. And let's settle it. Be like Charles Allen when he was convicted of what he, even the thought of it, he was wrong. He was convicted of that sin. And he stopped his car, turned around, went back, and went to his bedroom, knelt down before the Lord and asked God for forgiveness, that he will never. Now you see, he asked, he confessed his guilt, and he said, he promised that he will never, he repented, "I will never be guilty of it anymore." And then he himself said the experience really was the best thing that happened in his life. I pray that you will do it. I have gone through it myself. And it's so wonderful. Do you have anything that you are against a person? You should not. You know, when God says these things to us, it is not only that it is the right thing to do because He's been merciful to us, but it is also good for us. For our physical health, our emotional health, for our mental health, for our spiritual health. If we have this spirit of forgiveness. Yes, somebody sinned against us. Suddenly, you know, there's a raging anger in you, you know. And if you let this anger flush out in fury, it's going to rip you apart, you know. It's going to rip you apart, spoil you, really hurt you, harm you. And then if you do not forgive, slowly you will put this, you try to cram it into your what? Subconscious mind. And what will happen? This thing here, this unforgiving spirit, will manifest itself, you know, in different forms. How? Depression, anxiety, tension, and every kind of physical disorder in our life. So sometimes all our physical or disorders, we start to sit down. Why am I suffering from all these things? And because of we have unforgiving spirit in us, and we have not resolved it, and it goes back into, we register it, put it inside our subconscious mind, and then it's boiling there all the time. And then it finds its expression, what? Depression, right? You are sad, you get anxious, you get angry, and all this going to, blood pressure goes up, all the other parts of your body is going to be affected. First thing, your eyes will happen, your eyes will be affected, the kidney happen, everything, one by one, not only physically, but emotionally and spiritually. True? Very true. Very true. And so let's learn from the Lord of God. Because He is our Maker. He is our Creator. And He knows us. So when He teaches us these things, not only honors Him, He tells us it's good for our good. And of course, spiritually, it is very important. And if we wrong another person, then we should always acknowledge and ask for forgiveness. And not try to hide it. If you ask a friend, if you have done wrong somebody and you tell a friend, please forgive me. And then you don't tell the person exactly what you have wronged him. Then there's nonsense. That kind of asking forgiveness is not correct. Please forgive me for what I did. And definitely your friend who is a Christian, will he forgive you? Yes or no? Yes, because you have the attitude of forgiveness. Because one of your marks is to give, to forgive. Just like God, if you confess your sins, God is righteous and just to what? Forgive you. God is ever forgiving, provided you must confess. A wealthy industrialist was traveling in search of better health. While spending a few days in town, he learned that in the village there lived a young man who owed him a large sum of money. That rich man learned that the young man seemed to be trying to help himself, and the rich man was going to destroy the note he held against him. But that note was miles away in his home among other papers. So the rich man, realizing that he might not live to return to his home, he wrote to the young man there and there that he inquired from the young man how much he had owed him, and then he also wrote to offer to give him a receipt against the debt that he owed him, so that that would protect him from any future proceedings to get what he owed him. So the young businessman sent the letter to this secretary, this young man's secretary. But the young man, this young businessman, put on an indignant and proud manner and denied the debt. I didn't owe you. Very proud. And the debt remained unsettled. That businessman died. But the heirs of the rich man insisted upon the collection of the note, of the debt. And this was done to the ruin of the young man, who remained unforgiven because he was not willing to admit that there was anything to forgive, to pay. So you see, if you are not willing to confess your sin, acknowledge your wrong, there's nothing to forgive, isn't it? Please forgive me. Your next question is, what wrong did you do to me that I should forgive? I am forgiving. You have to be forgiving. Because if you are not forgiving, you do not have the spirit of forgiving, you cannot pray the Lord's Prayer, you know? You cannot pray the Lord's Prayer. Wow. And if you really have no forgiving spirit and you have been praying the Lord's Prayer, you are not actually praying the Lord's Prayer in spirit and in truth. You are only reciting. You are actually guilty of vain repetition. This is serious. And you come before a God who knows you, sees you right through, and you do that, God will turn His face away from you. Your fellowship, your relationship, or your relation with God is impaired for the moment. Although you are spiritually intact, you are delivered. As far as your position before God is concerned, that's settled by the Lord Jesus Christ. But in your daily life with Him, that fellowship with God is impaired. 7. Until we repent and confess our sins and restored. So what does this text mean? So let me belabor this point again. It means that we always must maintain in our heart this attitude of forgiveness. Sorry for saying this again and again and again and again. And I did it to myself too. Because we are hard at hearing. Goes in, goes out. You know why God gives us 2 ears? Not because you can hear one and come out the other. 2 ears so that we can hear twice and go down here. Not like this, you know. So that you have 2 ears. God says once, you hear what? Twice. Not one time here, out the other. And God says, God Himself says, I hear twice. 2 times. Zoom. It clashes, goes in to your heart. And so it is. Admit that we are, many of us, I don't say all, that many of us are stubborn people. Obstinate, stiff-necked. Especially when something is being said, being taught, and it runs against the grain of our natural human nature. Cannot! I won't! I remember once I was talking to someone and say, you have to forgive. You have to forgive him. And then got cornered and then say all the things. If you don't forgive, you cannot pray the Lord's Prayer. If you don't forgive, God will not forgive you. Alright, I will forgive, but I will not forget. Alright. The Bible didn't tell us to forget. The passage did not tell us to forget. You want to remember, you can remember. Each time you remember, what must you do? You forgive. You want to remember, okay, you want to enjoy remembering. But each time you remember, you have to say, I forgive. Now, see how many times you can go and remember and say, I must forgive. This time, you can forgive. Don't forget. Please remember. But make sure you must have this attitude of forgiveness. In no time you forget. You will forget. So before I came, I asked somebody, does God forget all that you have done against Him? Does God forget what the Israelites had done against Him? And the person said, no, God doesn't forget. Because in the Bible it's recorded many times, God reminded many times the Israelites for the sin that they had done against Him. And that reminding them is to ask them to repent, to repent, to repent. Now what does it mean that not to forget? When God remembers our sins, it's actually here to say that He does not take into account. He does not take into account of what we have sinned against Him when He has forgiven us. And so when you have forgiven a friend and then you still remember what he had done, then you take into account. And then you recollect also that he has done that to me, but I have what? Forgiven him. That's what it means. So if our Father in heaven has forgiven us, we should forgive others. You and I cannot pay, cannot redeem ourselves, cannot. No money, nothing that we do can redeem them. And God has already paid the penalty for us and cancelled all our past, present and future sins. And we stand before Him righteous. Your salvation is assured, provided, alright, on the condition that you have sincerely and truthfully confess your sin at the point of time when you were at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and you thank Him for dying for you. And you receive Him. And God kept His word and cleansed all your sins and sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. What about your daily life? Then we must continue our daily life. Now it is necessary for the offender to confess his sin. For the forgiveness to actually take place, because about this forgiveness, this matter of forgiveness involves two parties, alright? If someone sinned against you and you forgive, it involves two parties. And for this forgiveness to take place, the actuality of this forgiveness, it requires one party to confess. Admit, acknowledges. It must. Well, both are Christians, both have that spirit of forgiveness, but when one of them has committed a sin against their brother, then he must be willing to confess. If you don't, then there will be heartaches. Some time ago, a middle-aged woman sought to be reunited in marriage with her former husband. She told her pastor that they were both Christians when they established their home and that they had been blessed with two sons. Then one day they quarreled and harsh words were spoken. Each was too proud to ask the other's forgiveness, and the bitter feelings finally led to a divorce. Watch, both of them were wrong, you know. Neither had found a new mate, and 25 years later, with one son dead and the whereabouts of the other unknown, this woman learned that the only man she had ever loved was in the hospital. She went to see him. And with tears, they forgave one another. At their request, the pastor gladly remarried them right there in the hospital room. As he left after performing the ceremony, he thought of the price that they had paid because of their unwillingness to forgive. The prayers of both had been powerless because of this unforgiving spirit, and they could not experience the joy of their salvation. What's the price? So the broken relationship, their prayers, God does not hear because of the unforgiving spirit. This is true in Scripture. So you can pray, you can knock your head 3 times on the floor with all the what? Your knees are hard enough. God doesn't hear. That's the price, one price. They could not experience the joy of salvation. That second price, although you have. Because you have first believed. God has. And their sons had suffered because of this broken home. You see, this unforgiving spirit that we have is very hurtful. It's very hurtful. And so let us not have that. Let us be forgiving. Let me end with this illustration. 6 hours after starting our family vacation, we pulled into a hamburger chain parking lot somewhere in South Georgia. Tired minds, stiff muscles, and low blood sugar apparently caught up with us all at once because my daughter and I started to fuss over whether she could drive the car. "Well, I don't understand why I can't drive," she said to the father. The reply, "Because I said so, that's why."
Well, I don't. Within 60 seconds, World War II erupted.
As the man screamed, as I screamed at the top of my lungs, "If you say one more word, I'm going to unscrew your head." This was not a very wise choice of words. My wife gasped. My daughter burst into tears. And my 11-year-old son screamed back at me, "Dad, I can't believe you said this. That's not right. And it's not a very nice thing to say." An hour later, after many tears and too many words, when all the emotions had leveled out, I called a family meeting. Very good of him. And we drove up the interstate highway. "I'm sorry. It's all my fault. Will you forgive me too?" "Of course I will. It's forgiven." And so all of them together. And as he confessed his sin to his family members, they all forgive. And that relationship comes back to normal and so wonderful. So we must have the forgiving spirit just as this family had, Christian family had. But when we do wrong with against another, we have to confess precisely what we have done wrong. And so the forgiveness happened. The actuality of that forgiving spirit or that forgiveness takes place, and we are reconciled. It has to be that way. And that's the way that God has taught us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. And we pray, Father, that this spirit of forgiveness we will always maintain in ourselves, reflecting, Lord, that you are the same. Yes, Father, this is the basis on which we forgive one another. Grant us your grace, your strength, to do as you have taught us, that you may be glorified, your name exalted. Forgive, therefore, our sins and teach us to forgive others who sin against us. This we pray and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.